the VFL preview show. We know that last season finished in glory for Footscray. Of course, it was Footscray versus the Box Hill Hawks in the grand final. And for many a long-suffering Bulldogs fan, though not the one that they ideally would love to have in the trophy cabinet, the AFL Premiership, it was a cause for great celebration, breaking what has been a 50-year drought for a VFL flag, if you can try and sort of massage the interpretation that way. Paul Amy of Leading Newspapers is and has been and remains the best man to talk to when it comes to the VFL, not only for his knowledge of the competition, but also for his network of information-giving friends who are players, officials and coaches, and it all adds up to the best bloke in the business. And he joins me now for a look at the likely, or the teams that will succeed, teams that might be under the pump, and also some of the big off-season moves. Good evening, Ames.
G'day, Sonny. How are you, mate?
I'm really well. Always love doing this hour with Gilbo, but rapt to have the opportunity to have a full hour previewing the 2015 VFL season. I'd like to start with what you would mark would be the sort of headline-grabbing recruiting coups over the summer period, and also maybe some of the changes in the coaching ranks that would raise eyebrows.
Yeah, we've had five new coaches have come into the competition in the off-season mark. Justin Plappert, Casey, Ash Hansen takes charge of the Footscray Bulldogs. Paul Hood at Geelong. Paul Hudson at Sandringham, and what a breath of fresh air he is. And Paddy Hill takes over from Simon Goosey at Frankston Dolphins. First coaching role at senior level for Patrick.
Yes.
Wish him well. I think he'll do okay with a pretty young list. No, I was just counting them up, Finey, and where is it? 21. 21 former AFL players. There is 21 players on AFL list last year have come into the VFL this year. So that's a really good influx of talent for the league. And, you know, there's some talented types in them. I mean, you've got the dual Geelong Premiership player, Shannon Burns, Jack Hutchins, Jeremy Taylor, Cole Hardingham's at Essendon, Liston Mann and ex-cat Jordan Schroeder's at the Bombers, as is James Polkinghorne. Doggies have got Greenwood and Austin. The Big O, Owen Stevenson's at North Ballarat, Jordan Lowell, Lee Osborne, Dylan Van Noonan at Port Melbourne. Jared Karsha, he's at Richmond as skipper. Sam Donnell's at Williamstown, and Sandringham have picked up three, including two sons, Clint Jones and Trent Dennis Lane and Mitch Brown from the Cats. So, yeah, real good injection of talent into the league this year, Finey.
Port Melbourne are interesting. It's not unusual for them to have a turnover of players and often big-name players who we've seen in recent times vacate the club, but they always seem to be able to attract able deputisers, good replacements, and this year, when you have a look at the list of outs, they will need their replacements to be good footballers.
Yeah, well, I think we worked it out that they've lost more than 1,000 games of experience, Fine, if you take into account the John Baird, Sam Fleming, Marcus Marigliani, Bonadeo, of course, Shane Valenti, Julian Rowe, Dan Connor. So, look, a lot of experience lost at Port Melbourne, but Gary Ayres and Barry Kidd were quick to jump on the horn and have picked up some really nice players. And you'd think, you know, Jordan Lyle, Osborne, Haratuku and Shannon Taylor from Frankston, Lucas Cook, North Ballarat. Nathan Batt-Darnus is back from Richmond. They got Dan Toman, the Bendigo Gold Best and Fairest. So, yeah, I think it should be enough for the Borough to sort of, you know, remain on the top four pace.
Sandringham's ins are not huge in number, but as you said, Mitch Brown, who he's, I would think, near certain if his body holds up to return to the AFL next year, because I think Essendon, well, James Heard virtually said that he would gladly have him on the Essendon list next year.
Gave him some nice notices, didn't he? Yeah.
So if he doesn't, the only reason he won't go to Essendon is because they'll get gazumped. Jones and Dennis Lane will. Dennis Lane was one of those. Do you agree? I think he was one of those players caught between the two competitions. Dennis Lane, he does very well in the VFL.
He's always good for three or four good goals and rarely fails to do well for Sandy. He's a terrific pickup, and they're going to use his experience as an assistant coach. So I think the other thing with Sandy fine is that, you know, they've retained a lot of those really nice young players that have come through in the last couple of years, of Kenny Ong and Elliot LeGrice and Peter Shikalis. And I mean, they've lost Munro and Flanagan, and they're probably the only two sort of established VFL players. So, look, Paul Hudson sort of set out his stall and he said, look, you know, we think we're a top four club. So good on him for, amplifying the club's ambitions. He thinks he's got a good list and he wants to do good things with it.
And I'm pleased those players that you mentioned, like Ong and LeGrice, are graduates of the Sandringham Dragons and the sort of players that they would have been mentioned in drafty possibles, but of course possibles are often... There's only so many spots. Possibles often end up in the VFL because they're not drafted. And I'm glad that Max Hayes rejoins his former Sandringham Dragons teammates. I'm pretty sure he's a Brighton Grammar.
He is a Brighton Grammar boy. Yeah.
And I've doing a bit of stuff as I do with Sandringham Dragons. I know I often used to speak with his dad, father heavily invested not only in Max's career but also in the Sandringham Dragons, and might be another brother there. So I think he'll do really well. He's a key forward type player, and as he gets bigger, I think there might be a spot in the VFL and a good one for Max.
He was a very, very decorated underage player, wasn't he? Fine, Max. Right. Yeah, at Williamstown last year, so he's crossed. And they've picked up a couple of other nice graduates, Sandy, Taylor Grace and Malcolm Newland, who's the son of the great cyclist, Gary.
Yeah. And, you know, Gary was down there for all the functions last year, and Malcolm is he's a quiet kid, but unsurprisingly, given those Newland legs, he's quick.
Yeah.
There's plenty of pace in them thighs. I think his dad's given him those, and you'll see plenty of Gary at the footy because he loves watching Malcolm play, and he's a good player. Let's turn our attention more to teams and your estimations. You said that Paul Hudson has staked the claim, and there's only... I'm having a look at the top four. If Sandringham think they're going to make it, I would have thought Box Hill will be going nowhere. At least they wouldn't think they'd be going anywhere. Footscray. Williamstown are a team of great ambition, as is Port Melbourne, the standalone boys. Geelong play for keeps. Gee, this is going to be a real... Are there any others? Where do you think the top four spots
are? It's trying to squeeze, eight teams into four, isn't it?
Interesting. And that's great for the comp.
You know, look, I think Collingwood... I think Collingwood might be able to push up a little bit. Finals last year, you look at Essendon's inclusions.
Yes.
Hardingham, Marcus Mirigliani, Schroeder, Polkinghorne. Matty Little was the man with the golden pen over summer. That's a really good list for Essendon. Wouldn't surprise to see them push up either, Finey. Footscray Bulldogs, I think they've actually... Okay, they've lost Lucas Markovic and Nick Lower, but they're... Their VFL list looks a little bit stronger than last year. Having said that, they'll lose fellas like Jones and Tutt, who figured in the flag last year. Geelong were disappointed to miss the finals last year. They've got a nice list they can push up.
Just on Footscray, Josh Wallace is Mitch's younger brother, isn't he?
He is, yes.
That'll be an interesting watch for Bulldogs fans.
Yes, from St Bernard's and played a handful of games for
the Cannons
for Colton Cannons last year. It's great to see Stevie's boy, you know, in the Doggies jumper.
You know, it's a really interesting story is Coburg Football Club. They went standalone when Richmond, of course, chose.
One of the stories of last year, they were finally.
I think a brilliant story. I did their function, hosted the function where they, by the way, promoted the toughest footballer I've ever seen in the VFL, if not any VFL, if not any competition, Trevor Price to legend status.
T. Price, yes.
And it's great because he sort of he looks like somebody's benign and very sweet granddad. He's got a voice, a bit of the Mike Tyson's about him. He talks a bit like that. Boy, he was murder on legs when he played football. Did you see him play?
I saw some issue. I remembered a little bit, but, I mean, there's YouTube footage of him from the 79 Grand Final clashing with John Scarlett.
He told a great story. Yeah. He told a great story on the night that he actually trained down at Essendon, and they liked him, but he went down to Coburg and it seemed more his type of pace of club and sort of people. So he chose Coburg over Essendon, which is interesting. But he said early on in his career, he was in and out of the team, not guaranteed of anything. And his coach at the time, I can't remember which one of the coaches it was, in the late 60s, said to him, you know what, son, there's a spot in this team for you, but you're really going to have to, if you want to keep it, because you're not the most skillful bloke in the side, you're going to have to make an impression. You're probably going to have to, you're going to have to put one of their blokes on their ass and keep him, you know. He wasn't telling them to kill somebody. He was basically saying, if you can leave them one player short, then I'll pick you the next week.
And he said, did that more than once.
And you know what he said then? He goes, that's the only thing a coach ever told me. So I'm assuming it's still applied today. He never got a change of instructions.
In a competition that was, you know, crowded with hard men, you know, even the hard men talk about
Trevor Price. I was just thinking of Germo because he's coming up next and he obviously was there on the night. Do you know that Germo was a huge Coburg fan? And he's such a great footy fan. He brought a footy record from a famous final that they played in that period in the early 70s. And I thought, he's gone down to Mario Gunvale Collectibles and just picked it up for the night. It was actually the footy record he had from the day with his pen marks in for the goals.
He's told me that story. No, he was, I think he was a Carlton man on a Saturday.
Yep.
And a devout Coburg man on the Sunday. And it's great that he's coaching that club. Look, Coburg, I reckon they can just quietly give the aide a nudge. They've turned over half their list. They've strengthened it considerably. You know, what were they last year? 5-13. They could push up to 8 or 9 wins. You know, like, gee, it'd be a great story. You know, standing alone after a long, you know, alignment with Richmond.
And I've got to ask, Ames, and you're spot on. Everything Paul Amy just said then was the truth. That, and you've also got to add, stand alone in a city club where the demographic has become very much first generation sons of immigrants, which is fantastic, but the sport of Aussie rules needs to connect because these kids can be lost to soccer or not sport at all. We know the dangers out there if that happens.
Well, that's why the Adam Saad story was so compelling.
Yeah, and I want to know whether, tell that story, and I also want to know whether his rise, which is what it's been, and also his great showing in his AFL debut, but that won't impact what I'm about to say, has made it a destination club.
Look, if you go through that list, I mean, there's a great multicultural feel about Coburg, and it tells you that they're certainly, you know, tapping their local links, and I think it's great. I saw Saad play last year against Casey, and I sat with Brian Woodman, the former South Melbourne back pocket, and Saad got the ball. He had three fellas closing in on him. He danced around them like Fred Astaire.
charged off, beautiful kick on the left foot, and you just thought, gee, this kid can play. And I think he'll have a long and productive AFL career. I hope so. He's a terrific fella. And
I tell you what, clubs like St Kilda, Melbourne and the Doggies must be kicking themselves they didn't draft him, because he brings 350 family and friends to the game.
Yeah, that's right.
As though the Saints couldn't do with a few more members.
But look, I hope Coburg can push up, because look, Craig Lee's the general manager, and his sidekick Peter German done a really good job last year. They've done a good job over summer building up the list, and would love to see Coburg do well. Finally, I think Casey Scorpions will be a really good improver this year as well. Fell down the ladder last year. They'd lost a lot of experienced players, had some bad injuries, have recruited very well. Justin Platt's there as coach. Really good operator. The list is a lot stronger. I think you'll see a resurgence from Casey Scorpions this year.
How about back to the future at North Ballarat? They've got a couple of guys that are returning to the club that... when you turn on your screens, you might think that they're playing highlights from 2009, 2008.
Yeah, the great Oren Stevenson, who's been the best VFL ruckman for the past decade. So he's returned to the Roosters, where he played in three premierships. And, of course, the JJ Liston Trophy winner, Miles Sewell's gone back there as well after having a year off last year. They've also picked up little Andrew Hooper, the ex-Bulldogs.
He should be very... I think he'd be a great addition to North Ballarat. They've got... As we know, they are a side that I think plays not above their ability, but they're so well drilled, etc. And I'm sure that Gerard will find a very good use on the ball, and especially in the pocket, for Andrew Hooper.
Yeah. Frankston pulled a surprise today, finding they listed Waylon Manson. Now, he was one of the lads who was on that TV program, The Recruit, last year.
Yeah, of course.
Indigenous boy.
Yes.
Blessed with prodigious talent. He's been playing at Waratahs in the NTFL. So he's going to come down and play with the Frankston Dolphins and try to kindle a bit of interest from the AFL scouts, who I think have looked at him intermittently in the last 3 or 4 years. So could be one to watch for the Dollies. Plenty of X factor about Waylon.
Well, I'm going to start thinking about my club support. You see, I support Port Melbourne as a standalone club. I transferred my allegiances from sort of nominally Sandringham, Strokes and Kilda to this mob, of course, Port Melbourne, who I used to hate. But I've got Justin Plapp coming up for interview later in the hour, and I just thought Plappy was fantastic at the Dragons. Just one last one before I go. Given that I've got Justin on after Peter German, what do you make of the Scorps? Because they're in good hands.
Yeah, I think they'll be well coached. I thought they were well coached too by Rowan Welsh.
Yes.
Great to see him bob up at St Kilda. Oh, well, no, Casey, as I said, I think, they've brought in Shannon Burns, Jack Hutchins from Gold Coast. They snipped James Munro from Sandringham.
Yeah.
And they've got Jordan Moncrief from Mount Eliza, the son of Michael Moncrief.
I guess they're a club, and not the only one. Their fortunes will rise and fall heavily on the injury list at Melbourne. If it's thin, then they'll be the beneficiaries.
Oh yeah, but I reckon this year, finally, I think there's a lot more depth to the Casey list. And if they had to put 16 Casey listed players on the park on any given week, I think they'd do that with some confidence.
Oh, good, because that wasn't the case with them.
No, that's right. They were horribly thin last year, but.
Yep.
Yeah, that list looks much better.
Beauty. All right. Well, Paul, I thank you so much for your time tonight, and Whether you know it or not, I'll be leaning on you right throughout the year, because if I'm not talking to you, then I'm plagiarising you. If I come up with something smart about the VFL, London to a brick on, I've read it in something Paul Amy's written. Thanks so much, mate. And, yeah, hopefully you can keep listening, because we've got Peter German joining us after the break. Now, why on earth would I play such a long intro for Peter German? Because when he spoke to Spider, he heard us play the song on Friday night, and he said, "That's my intro." How are you, Germo?
I'm really good, mate. How you going?
Very well. He's good, Jethro Tull. I didn't know he was, but apparently, if that's what he turns out, it's not bad, is it?
Yeah, no, I was a young fella. My older brothers had Slade, they had Jethro Tull, Thick as a Brick. Yeah, had a lot of those ones. It was good music back then.
Back in the day.
Yeah.
Let's look forward rather than backwards. And I put it to Paul that, not just because of Adam Sard and this great story of a young player that was overlooked out of the TAC Cup, he chose to go or stay in his area and stay with Coburg. Not a fashionable club in prospect last year, had a great season, and we now know, not only on the list, but made his debut for Gold Coast on the weekend. Not only because of Adam, because there were other young players who flourished last year. I put it to Ames that it's become a destination club with many players from around the VFL, TAC Cup, and suburbs that would be in your bailiwick choosing Coburg this year. Is that how it's eventuated?
Oh, look, I think any young footballer who's still harbours ambitions to play AFL football, you certainly want to go to a club where you feel that you're going to get, you know, going to get good coaching, and you're in an environment that's professional. You know, so I guess Coburg coming out of an alignment and as you say, a bit unfashionable. You know, it was probably a bold step by Adam. You know, I know that certainly Williamstown and one club who certainly go hard after the Calder Cannons boys, or they have in recent years. And, you know, for him to stay at Coburg was fantastic for us. But, you know, he's just so coachable. And, you know, he had obviously a few flaws coming out of the TAC Cup that obviously clubs didn't like. But certainly what he had was, you know, certainly AFL attributes in terms of speed, agility, and
so just on the shortcomings, a player that would have been considered possibly unlucky not to have been picked up ends up at Coburg, and was he? I'm sure he was receptive to, and also were you comfortable and the coaching staff comfortable saying, Adam, there are things that you need to work on, just because you come here with a good reputation doesn't mean that you don't have things on your game to work on. Is that easy to do with some of these kids?
Look, I think in the end, sometimes players don't like hearing some of the things that are a little bit, when I say negative, but areas they need to work on. But, now look, Adam's a funny one. Last year, he actually had an operation after the season, and I really never actually got to start working with him probably until probably end of Jan, early Feb last year. So so he come in with not a great pre-season under his belt. So now the first thing for me was, I said, you know, look, I see you probably wanting to play a bit more in the midfield, because I knew that he'd played forward the previous year.
And he actually, again, you know, just to, not bold, but I just think the confidence that he actually has in himself. He said, can I actually play in the back line? So that sort of shocked me a bit. But look, I had no problems with putting him back there. As I say, it was a team and a club that was trying to establish itself again as a in its own right. And look, he took it all before him, playing in the back line, and was really receptive to the things that we spoke about and what he had to do to be effective in that role. But look, his offensive nature just allowed him to be able to run forward with the ball, and his ball use, you know, just made him an outstanding player. And I was just so glad that, you know, someone was bold enough, really. You know, no one took him in the main draft, but obviously the rookie and Rodney Eade was just so glowing in him once he was up there, just the way he trained and the way he went about his football, and obviously he got his rewards on the weekend.
I don't know if you heard Ames talking about the various clubs, but he's very bullish about Coburg. Last year, 5 wins was a cracking effort, and 3 or 4 games that could have certainly gone Coburg's way, they were within touching distance. He's sort of tacked them on this year and gives you a chance of making the finals, a real chance of making the finals. Is that how you see it?
Yeah, look, it's just probably depends on where the competition's at. I think we know that we've improved our list. There's no doubt about that. We've really thickened up our list from player, say, 10 to player 30. I think that's full credit to Craig Lees. You know, he's done not only the general manager's job, but also, you know, he's done a lot of our recruiting this year. And obviously, you know, that's a big plus for us as well, Lees being able to play, you know, do the dual role. But, yeah, so what we've done is we've really thickened our list, and so far, you know, in the couple of practice games we've played, it's been really positive. On the weekend against Frankston, you know, I'm pretty sure they wouldn't have been at full strength, but they weren't far off it, and I guess either were we, but we still got, you know, a couple of quality players to come back in, Leck Featherston, and a couple of our recruits to come in as well, who are pretty highly touted. So, look, we're pretty excited about our whole list, And you know, for us this year, we only won two games in our development team last year, and I expect them to be a really you know, strong side this year, and so competition for spots is going to be even greater. But look, the players have just embraced you know, the real whole professionalism of what's needed at VFL level. I think that's going to be where our improvement's going to be, that, you know, just right across the list, the players from last year and our new players will add real depth. And look, we haven't put any real expectations on how many games we want to win or where we want to finish on the ladder. But look, we were really competitive for 95% of the season last year. There's only a couple of games or a couple of quarters where we dropped off. So hopefully that experience and getting in a little bit more experience and stronger type players will really help us, you know, right at the end of the games when we probably lost a few last year. So, yeah, look, if that means that we can win 7 or 8, then that's fantastic. But, look, you know, as I say, who knows? We've got a young side, and with youth comes unpredictability. But, you know, so who knows what we might be able to achieve.
We're talking with Peter German, coach of Coburg in the VFL, after a very promising first year as a standalone club since, well, I'm not sure the last time Coburg went alone, but certainly in this current era. Peter, there was always going to be a challenge on the field, which everybody agrees has been met by yourself and the players, and off the field as well, because it's not easy to find the money to get a VFL team on the park, and that the search for dollars becomes, I think, even harder for inner-city clubs because you're locking horns with clubs in close proximity. So how is the club, not the actual balance sheet, but is the club moving forward in terms of its financial security?
Yeah, look, I you know, catch up with Craig Lees fairly often, and we don't talk, you know, dollars and cents all the time, but from what I can gather, you know, the community has certainly got on board. Our membership's still growing. You know, it's 5 times what it was, you know, 2 years ago. So it shows that the community are really getting behind us. Leader newspaper really is very positive towards Coburg and in the Moreland area. Yeah, but look, even our sponsorship, I think, is we've probably grown another 40 to 50% on last year. So, look, in all those, in that area off the field, we really have improved. You know, do we still match, you know, the teams that have got the pokies and get revenue elsewhere? No, but one thing that we have done, we've reconstructed the board. Kevin Breen now as president has been outstanding, and again with the board, we've got about four or five new board members. You know, Mick Irwin's on the board, so former premiership coach, and obviously a lot of people in football world know Mick, and so having him on board's been outstanding as well. So yeah, look, I think that off the field, it's probably as exciting as what the club's, you know, probably in position has been in for a long, long time. Probably back in the days, late 80s, early 90s with Phil Cleary and that group that went through that were, you know, obviously very successful in that era. But, yeah, look, it's from what I can gather, you know, everything's on track and, you know, the club's really growing in a positive manner and things are really starting to fall into place. So, you know, and the best part is too, they're looking a bit outside the square as well. We're not just looking at raffles and just sponsorship. I think that there's a few other things in the pipe works that, you know, can certainly help Coburg Footy Club, you know, in time to come.
I think I really believe, Peter, you've elevated yourself up with Gary Ayres at Port and Jared Fitzgerald at North Ballarat as coaches that are truly invested not only in the results but in the club, and it's been a great result for Coburg to get the boyhood fan to coach them in their second coming as a VFL/VFA club. I thank you for joining us tonight, Pete, and I know that you'll be available throughout the year. You start, interestingly, against the Richmond Tigers.
Yep.
It's a great way to kick off the season, Saturday, 18th of April, at Piranha Park, which is your home ground. Where is Piranha Park? So fans, I'd love all the local people to get out to that one. Where do they go to?
Oh, it's just Coburg City Oval there, just back of Bell Street, the corner of Bell Street and Sydney Road.
Beautiful, yeah.
You know, you've got the tram that drops you off there. You've got the train station that's only, you know, 400 metres away as well. So it's great area. Yeah, the local people in Moreland, they all know where the ground is, and that's a community of people in Coburg and surrounding areas, Brunswick, that we'd really love to see.
Get behind your local club, Coburg. If they are your local club, you'll be well rewarded with the type of football they play and the type of club they are. Germo, all the best for the season.
Good, Fonny.
Peter German there. A break. And when we come back, Justin Platt was highly regarded at Sandringham Dragons as a coach and a mentor, and he now moves on to the Casey Scorpions. We'll speak to him ahead of his first season with the Scorps. Well, Casey Scorpions open their VFL season on the 19th of April, which is Sunday, at Casey Fields against Frankston. And the man, the gaffer, the one that if it was... They should get this in the VFL. They should wear winter jackets with their initials on them in big letters like they do in the EPL. And if that was the case, then the initials would be JP. New coach of Casey, Justin Plapp, joins us now. Good evening, Justin.
Evening, Finey. Thanks for having me on tonight, mate.
When we last spoke, it was your very moving and an emotional goodbye to the Sandringham Dragons, where you are so highly held in such high regard by the players, the parents, the organisation, and of course, Rock Ryan O'Connor, the regional manager. But on the night, we knew you were moving on into the Melbourne system and the Scorpions coaching role. How's the transition been, and how are the prospects of your charges coming into this competitive VFL season?
Yeah, look, it seems like an eternity ago, Viney, that night you were at the club that night and I was saying my goodbyes to the Dragons. But look, the transition has gone really well. Look, it's been a challenge, it's a challenging role, the one that I've gone into, but on the same side, it's an exciting one as well. So, listen, you know, from the Melbourne Football Club and the Casey Football Club point of view, I couldn't be any more grateful for the opportunity. And you know, it's they've made me feel really welcome, and they've worked really hard to try and make the the transition easy. It's not an easy role, the one that I'm doing. It has some challenges, like I said before, as all alignments do. So listen, we're 4 or 5 months into that process, and we think we're getting a fair way on the down the track to getting a really good list together, and the Melbourne list really healthy. And some of the hurdles and some of the challenges that we try to put in place to try and improve the alignment and try and improve the place to make it a better development team, or a team that we can actually get everyone to develop quicker, and that's not just from a VFL point of view, but from an AFL point of view as well. So yeah, listen, it's going pretty well.
Justin, we know that aligned clubs have a duality. They sort of serve two masters. Obviously, the AFL club's needs and also the club itself's ambitions. And they can complement each other and both be highly successful, right through to the opposite end of the scale where neither objective is met and there's a lack of harmony. It's an enormous challenge, isn't it? How is that fine line trod? And do you think that, and do you believe that they do go hand in hand? If they either both go well or both poorly? Because I think that's my observation.
Yeah, look, Fonny, I think that's the biggest challenge that alignments face. And I've been lucky enough to experience 3 or 4 alignments. I certainly, when I was at St Kilda, I played a bit of football for Casey Scorpions, or the Springvale Scorpions at that stage when they had the alignment. So as a player, I've been through the system. And as a coach, spending a bit of time at Williamstown with the alignment with the Bulldogs, and at Box Hill with Hawthorn, obviously, I've seen probably, how it can work really well. So my education, or my dealings with that side of it, has been a lot of learnings and a lot of stuff that I reckon actually put me in really good stead to be able to get into this, to make the transition into this role. And I think the biggest thing, Fonny, is that they're things that you've got to work at, and we understand that there's different needs for both sides of the ledger, but I think that you just can't, at any stage get emotional about it, because, it's what it is, and it's challenging. And, as an AFL player, you don't want to hide behind the fact is that when players are back playing VFL football, some players are established AFL footballers, and what they want to be doing is actually playing AFL footy. So it's really, how you manage those, those personalities, and really try and channel their focus is into really understanding why they're back there, and showing a bit of empathy, because I think that at the end of the day, if you want to really challenge the players in that, and I think that's when they probably don't see the light of at the end of the tunnel. And so the biggest thing, mate, for me is that it's something that you don't want to hide from, but it's actually something you've got to really work at. And there's some different things that we've really tried this year from a Melbourne point of view, particularly being full-time at Melbourne, is that I'm in there and I see the players every day. And, we've got 14 to 15 players at the moment playing at Casey. And, I think the relationship building is a really, really key thing. So building relationship and then being able to probably, do your coaching next has probably been the biggest thing that I'm probably learning with a lot of the boys, that's for sure.
The time is up, unfortunately, Justin. I'm sure we'll get a chance to talk again through the season, but I just observed that the Sandringham Dragons and any TAC Cup dynamic, though different because it's not an AFL club pool, is not dissimilar. And Justin was highly skilled at managing the needs of kids that needed to play in school football and representative football. It's not always about the win-loss, and I'm sure that'll serve you very well. Justin, thanks so much for joining us tonight. Good luck on the good luck in the role, and I'll tell you what, if the non-selection of Jack Grimes is anything to go by, I reckon Nathan Jones aside, every player at Melbourne has been put on notice that play well or you're going to spend time with Justin and Casey. Not a bad thing for you and Paul Roos, I reckon.
No, it certainly isn't, mate. And look, we're working really hard, mate, to get that right. And, you know, I think that at the moment we're doing a pretty good job of it. But, you know, we don't want to get ahead of where we are because we understand that it's a very competitive environment that we're in. So I appreciate your time.
Just one very quickly, because this could be any... one out, ranking from 1 to 10, how's the ground looking?
Ground's looking a 10 at the moment. It was underwater at about 4 o'clock today, but I left about 10 minutes ago, mate, it was looking a 10 out of 10, honest. Yeah. So.
Oh, if that's the case, it's turned the corner, because it improved last year and it needed to. Plappy, thanks so much, and we look forward to Casey having a rattle right up to the very top of the table in the VFL this season.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
Justin Plapp, cracking bloke, hard nut footballer. Richmond and St Kilda, forward, undersized, because he was a marking type forward. And if he ever took a backward step, show me the video and I'll give you $100 per backward step. That's it for the VFL show.